equality. We've just entered our third decade. In another 7 months, all of us, not just the university, we're going to enter a new decade of the 90s. It will be a decade that will challenge this region more than it has been challenged probably ever before. President Marburger has stated very eloquently that the third decade of Stony Brook should be a decade of too much. It must also be a decade of responsiveness, of reaching out, of reinvigorating, of revving up, of resurgence and of renaissance. Stony Brook is a better university today than it has ever been in its entire history. I don't think there's any question about that. We have never had as high a quality of faculty as we now have. Appointments during the present academic year increased the members of the National Academy of Science who are on our faculty by one-third in 1 year. Never before has the quality and diversity of our academic programs at all levels been greater. Never before have awards to faculty in the humanities and the social and behavioral sciences been as great as they are now, where we tie Harvard and other Ivy League institutions in NEH fellowships. Never before has the size, the diversity, and stability of our research enterprise been greater. And there should be continued growth if Bob Schneider's projection is correct. Right? Never before has the outreach of the university been as impressive as it is now. This country, though, this world, faces problems in the next century that, again, we've never faced before. Many of them are going to be environmental problems. For the first time in the history of the Earth, people are impacting the globe on a planetary scale. First time ever. The greenhouse effect, global change, erosion of the ozone layer, contamination of drinking water, a general degradation of our environment. Those are worldwide problems. But many of those problems are manifested particularly clearly and with a great sense of urgency here on Long Island. In less than 2 years, for all intents and purposes, Nassau and Suffolk County, if we were a state, we would be one of the top 25 states in population. Less than 2 years, we're going to have that population, that area, without a landfill. None, not one. Can you imagine, think of the state, without a single landfill for its garbage and trash. Solid waste looms is an enormous problem. Energy costs will soar on Long Island. Water, the cost of water will continue to go up. Contamination of groundwater and surface waters will continue to accelerate. And all of these factors converge to create an enormous set of obstacles for Long Island and for the university. But universities are supposed to overcome obstacles. Turn them into opportunities. We're supposed to tackle tough problems. And I do believe that Long Island's problems should and can become this university's opportunities. Arnold Toynbee pointed out, quote, "We have ascertained that civilizations come to birth in environments that are unusually difficult and not unusually easy. The greater the challenge, the greater the stimulus to grow." I think that's not only true of civilizations, I think that's also true of organizations. This university can and should serve as a model for the island, and maybe for the rest of the country, in demonstrating how human beings can live in harmony with their environment. There is no better place to do it than on Long Island, and we can only win by taking that on. You may recall Rene Dubose's admonition, think globally, act locally. That's a good piece of advice for this university. It's ironic that both organizations and people, we seek comfort and certainty, and yet those are the conditions that are most likely to bring about decline, comfort and certainty. Now, in the years ahead, we're not going to be either comfortable or certain, so maybe it will stimulate us to do great things. Energy conservation, in water conservation, in municipal solid waste management, in toxic and hazardous waste management, in all of these areas, we should set an example here at Stony Brook. And if the more noble objectives don't appeal to you, there are pragmatic reasons. Millions of dollars are at stake for this university. If we serve as a role model in those areas, we can save those millions of dollars and we can invest them in the intellectual, scholarly life of this institution. And if we don't, We're going to be that many millions of dollars short. If we use the same amount of water next year as we used last year, it will cost us $500,000 more. That sewage treatment plant on the campus is going to cost us $1 million more to treat our sewage than before we had it. And you can go on and on. Last year we saved $1 million in energy. That was based upon $15 a barrel oil. We're counting on $1 million this next year to help fill a hole in our budget. Oil's not $15 a barrel anymore. Zephyr will be New York more than $24 a barrel now and going up. So we have to concentrate on these if we're going to continue the development. And we should also be a model, I think, for living in harmony, not just with our environment, but with each other. We should be a society that cares about our members and sees and addresses the needs. In everything from child care, all through the rest of the spectrum of activities that go along with the community. We are a community, and if we can't do it in a university community, the prospects for Long Island and for the rest of the world, I think, are awfully bleak. So Stony Brook is rich in opportunities. I would remind you that Pogo once said that some opportunities are so large, they are insurmountable. Ours are large, they're enormous, but I don't believe for a minute that they are insurmountable. I don't believe it for a minute. We just have to recognize that some of the strategies that worked so well for Stony Brook in the past are not going to serve us well in the next decade. In Arnold Pentius' new book, Ideas and Information, which is a book I recommend to you, he states, quote, "Certainly, today's leaders face formidable problems, but real leaders find ways of overcoming obstacles that seem insurmountable to others." When we all grow frustrated or find ourselves weary of the bureaucracy and the inability of the university, particularly the administration, to get anything done, grow frustrated with our Long Island leaders, the inability or unwillingness to define important goals and objectives, each of us, I think, individually and collectively, and certainly this university should remember Aesop's fable of the two crabs. On a fine day, Mother Crab and one of her offspring came out of their home to take a walk. And the mother looked at her offspring and said, "Child, you're walking very ungracefully. You should accustom yourself to walking straight forward without twisting from side to side." And the young crab looked up at her mother and said, "Pray, Mother, do set the example yourself, and I will follow. I thank you for letting me be your provost for 3 years. I wouldn't have missed it for all the garbage I'm on."
They asked me if I would make a presentation. I said I'd be honored to. They quickly brought me down to earth, however, by explaining that the only reason they were asking me to do it was because Janine was out on maternity leave. If you would, the folks in the office would like to give you a special appreciation award presented to Jerry Schubel, Provost, 1986 to 1989, with sincere gratitude and affection from all of us. From all you've given us, from your friends and colleagues in the Office of the Provost.
I have thoroughly enjoyed working with everyone there. And I'm not sure how much the university realizes how fortunate you are to have all the people in that office. They're the ones who make it work. And I've been honored to have the opportunity to work with them. Thank you.
And he's still the provost.